The Lord's deliverance of this widow woman was in the first instance a notable demonstration of the power of God. The vast supply of the new oil from one small pot of oil was nothing else but a miracle of creation. In the pouring out of the oil, the Lord created new oil. And thus he multiplied it so that it filled all the empty vessels that they had borrowed and brought in to the house. This was a miracle of creative power. A demonstration of the creative power of God. It was a miracle on the same basis as the feeding of the 5,000. You remember how the Lord took the loaves that were brought to him? And then when he broke the bread and he distributed to the disciples, that bread then was created in abundance so that that vast multitude were fed. It was a miracle of creation. And in the case of this widow and her sons, they became eyewitnesses of the creative power of God. They became eyewitnesses before their very eyes as they took that little pot of oil that they had and started to pour it into the empty vessels. One by one, those vessels were filled, and as they were filled, they were beholding. They were witnessing. They were observing the creative power of God. There are not very many eyes that see such things. The creative power of God. Truly, there's nothing too hard for our God. When we come to a passage like this, and the record of this passage, it's simply telling us there's nothing too hard for our God. God can do what is impossible with men. God is above the laws of nature. God is the Creator. He is the all-powerful God. What a fascinating scene then is brought before us. And as we contemplate this great miracle, there are many lines of meditation and study that open up to us. I just want us to consider two tonight. I want you to notice here, in the first place, the plight of this woman. And surely there is a message for us. Surely there's something to glean when we contemplate the plight of this woman. This woman was in a great state of trouble, a great state of distress. We're told here that she was in debt. The miracle was wrought by the Lord in order to relieve the woman of the debt that she was in. You see the word of Elisha to her? When she came and told him what had happened, he said in verse 7, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt." That is the reason why this miracle was performed. This woman was in debt. The debt, of course, illustrates the adverse circumstances that she faced. She did not possess very much. In fact, whenever Elisha asked her what she had, the only thing that she had in the house was this little pot of oil. That's all she had. She didn't have any other items of furniture that she could sell in order to pay the creditor. The only thing that she had was this pot of oil. She had nothing. Very, very little. She's in a deep state of poverty. Adverse circumstances have fallen upon her. And added to this, she's facing the harsh demands of the creditor. Because the creditor, to whom she owed this money, had threatened to take her sons as bond slaves. Verse 1, when she came to Elisha, she said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen, to become slaves." She's facing the very harsh demands, and I say, it was harsh because it was forbidden in the Word of God. If you turn back to Leviticus chapter 25, you'll find that in relation to borrowing and lending that it was permitted to lend. It was permitted for the people of the Lord to borrow within their means, provided they sought to pay it back. It was permitted to do that. But very specific instructions were given, for instance, in Leviticus 25 and verse 39. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as an hired servant. And as a sojourner he shall be with thee, and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. What the Lord is saying here is that nobody, if they lent money to another who were in difficult circumstances, nobody had the right within Israel, if those people could not repay what they had received, nobody had the right to take them into slavery. They could become hired servants, and that way they could work to pay off their debt. And the Lord is giving very clear instruction that it wasn't wrong to borrow. Even Elisha said to the woman, go and borrow the vessels from all your neighbors and then go and pay your debt. That was the command regarding borrowing. They could borrow, but they had to pay it off. And in relation to the lender had the right to give, but he did not have the right to be harsh or cruel. And he could not come and take the recipients into slavery. But that's what was happening here. This creditor was coming, demanding his money, and because the woman couldn't pay it, he was threatening to take her sons as slaves. You can see the plight that she's in. She's in great poverty. She's in debt. And now this threat is hanging over her, that this man, this creditor, will come and bring or take her sons into slavery. And added to that, the greatest of all her problems, in fact, the reason for the situation that she was in, was due to the death of her husband. Verse 1, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And you can imagine all the emotion and all the sorrow that there is in her heart in the aftermath of that event, the death of her husband. But it was his death that brought her into these circumstances. It's evident that while he was still living, that he and his family were in this state of poverty, and he had to take debt, had to go into debt in order to provide for his family. He wasn't going into debt for the sake of luxury or extravagance, because she describes him as one who feared the Lord. He had acted appropriately. And now he's dead. And she's left in this situation. We should not judge this man. I think any harsh judgment of the man should immediately vanish when we consider the fact that he had been a student for the ministry. You see that in verse 1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, the school of the prophets. This man was in training for the ministry, and here's the situation that he's in, that he cannot provide for his family, and he has to go into debt because of that. And he's seeking to serve the Lord. I think that is a very poor reflection. A very poor reflection whenever the servants of the Lord and the students of the ministry have to face such circumstances. That ought not to be. It is a very sad reflection. But here this man is in this situation, and in the midst of it he dies, and he leaves his wife in this state of debt. And now the creditor is coming and he's demanding to take her sons in order to pay off the debt, to bring them into slavery. What a situation. What a situation. And it serves to remind us of the incomprehensibility of God's providence. Here's a man who has been training to serve the Lord. His circumstances were difficult. He's had to go into debt, and now he's suddenly taken away by the Lord, and his wife and her sons are left in this terrible situation. You know, sometimes there are things that God does and God permits that we do not understand. Think of how many people there are in the world whose exit from the world would actually be a blessing to the world. If God were to take them out because of their wickedness and their sin and their ungodliness. But here's a man who fears the Lord, a man who's studying for the ministry, studying to be a prophet of the Lord, and suddenly the Lord takes him away. And his wife and her sons are left in this situation. Sometimes the providence of God is beyond our comprehension. Sometimes, this is what this passage is teaching us. Sometimes, God works in a way that is beyond our understanding. And when God works in such a way, the wisest course of action for us is to submit to the all-wise working and purpose of God. Instead of trying to fathom it out, because the only time that we will understand the reason is when God either makes it plain to us in time, or at the last day when all things shall be made clear. The plight of this woman unfolds to us the incomprehensibility of the providence of God. It is a very precious doctrine, but it is also a very deep doctrine, and it is one that we should tread carefully with when we try to find out the ways of God. God's ways are past finding out. What a terrible situation it seems that this woman has been brought into. She's had hard circumstances, she's lost her husband, she's all the grief and the sorrow of widowhood. She's in debt, she's in poverty. And now the creditor is coming with this threat to bring her sons into slavery. What a dark and difficult situation. But that brings us secondly to the provision of the Lord. There are many perplexities about this woman's plight that we cannot fathom or that we cannot understand. But there's one thing that we can understand, and it's this: her plight became the opportunity for God's provision. Her problem, her circumstances became the opportunity for God's provision. There's a valuable lesson here for us. Many experiences of God's wonderful provision would not be enjoyed by us if it wasn't for times of difficulty and times of trouble and times of adversity. Our extremity is God's opportunity. Our plight is the opportunity for God to reveal himself in his goodness, in his mercy, in his power, and in his graciousness. And that's exactly what this woman found. She went to Elisha. And Elisha, of course, was the prophet of the Lord. He was the Lord's representative, the Lord's spokesman. And by going to Elisha, she was going to the Lord. She was going to the Lord with her problem. And she found that the Lord provided for her in a wonderful way. It teaches us many things about the provision of the Lord for his people. I think we learn here that God's provision for us is always more than sufficient than our need. Did you notice there that Elisha said to her in verse 7, go sell the oil and pay thy debt. But he didn't stop there. She came to Elisha concerning her debt, concerning her immediate problem. She's facing this threat of the creditor coming to take away her son. She has nothing to pay him. And she goes to Elisha with this need. But notice that the Lord not only met that need, the Lord's provision was far more abundant. For Elisha says to her, he says, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children off the rest. You see, the Lord's provision was greater than her need. Greater than her problem. The Lord would not only provide to pay for the debt, but the Lord gave her much more than this. The Lord gave her enough for her and her sons to live off. The Lord's provision is always greater than our need. Our needs can never exhaust the provision or the abundance of God. Whatever our need may be tonight, the Lord can not only meet it, but he can meet it in 100 ways, in 1,000 ways. And when he meets it, it is given good measure, pressed down and running over. The provision of God. When we make recourse to God, we will find that he will not only meet our need, but he will meet more than our need. He will give us more than what we need. Go and live of the rest. The Lord met the need in a wonderful way. But then notice also that God's provision required obedience to God's word. Remember, Elisha was speaking as God's prophet. And when the woman came to Elisha, he said to her in verse 2, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in the house. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels, borrow not a few, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And you'll notice that she's got commands to follow. She's got instructions that she has to follow here. And she will not receive the provision unless she obeys the instructions. She's got to go and ask her neighbors for all the empty pots, not just a few, but many as she can find. And then she's got to shut the door, bring them in and shut the door. And then she has to pour out into all the vessels specific instructions, specific commands. And she will not receive the provision until the instructions are obeyed. And the Lord is teaching us that if we are to enjoy his provision for whatever it is in relation to our life, if we are to enjoy his provision, we will only enjoy that provision when we obey his word, when we obey his instructions. My God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory, his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That promise is based on the condition that we follow his word and that we obey his instruction. God's provision, his abundant, his superabundant provision, is only received in obedience to his word. You think of salvation. What is the promise? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The provision of grace, it superabounds towards sinners. But when is that provision received? It's only when the gospel is believed. When a sinner repents and believes the gospel, only then is the provision of grace received. And so it is in relation to every provision that God gives to us. We only receive His provision when we obey His word, when we obey His instruction. Notice also that God's provision required faith. God's provision required faith. Did you notice what Elisha said to this woman? In verse 3, go borrow. Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbours. But hold on a minute, Elisha. That's the very reason I'm in the problem that I'm in. I'm in this problem because my husband borrowed. I'm in debt because of the act of borrowing. And now you're saying to me, go borrow all these vessels. What was Elisha saying? What was Elisha doing? What was the Lord doing through Elisha? He was simply saying to this woman that if you're going to receive the provision of God, you must believe Him. You must have faith in Him. Go borrow. And then he said to her, bring all the vessels in and take that little pot of oil that you have and begin to pour it into all the vessels. Did you notice that in verse 4? And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels. You got to pour out into all the vessels. But she's only got one little pot of oil. And human reason would object to that. Human reason would step in and say, but it's impossible. You're asking me to do something that's impossible. But Elisha was saying to this woman, I'm asking you to do something by faith. I'm asking you to trust it in the Lord. And this woman trusted in the Lord. And she went and she borrowed all the vessels. And she brought them in. And she poured out into every one of them. And she found the provision. We'll only receive the Lord's provision in our lives when we obey His word. And when we trust Him. When we don't lean on our own understanding and on our own reasoning, we've got to submit our reason to the Word of God. And we've got to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And when she acted by faith, she received the provision. The provision was more than her need, provided more than what she had requested. The provision was based on obedience to the instructions. The provision required faith. But notice that the provision did not discriminate in relation to the person or to the station in life. It's interesting when you read the context here. In the previous chapter, Elisha has been in the presence of kings. The king of Israel, Ahaz, the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom. He's been in the presence of kings. They've come seeking for him. They're facing a great threat. And Elisha gives them the direction from the Lord. And the Lord gave a great deliverance from the Moabites. And here's this prophet whose ministry was spent many times in the presence of statesmen, the presence of kings, who appealed unto him. And yet now here's this poor widow woman. And she comes to the prophet with her need. And the Lord provides the answer. You see, the Lord's provision did not discriminate against the person or the station in life that that person had. Whether it be the great men, the kings, the mighty men of the earth, or whether it be the poor, humble widow woman, the provision of the Lord did not discriminate. And isn't that a wonderful picture of the gospel? The gospel doesn't discriminate with men, whosoever. Whether they be great men of the earth or whether it be the humble widow woman. And likewise it is in our everyday life as Christians. We should never think that God's provision is restricted only for the great or the mighty or the renowned. God's provision is for all His people. No matter what our state or our standing or our station in this world, in this life, isn't it good to know that whilst we may not be on the stage of fame or whatever it may be, while we may be insignificant, unknown, despised, in terrible adverse circumstances, that if we come to the Lord in faith, He will not turn us away. He will meet the need. He will give us grace. His provision did not discriminate in relation to the person who was seeking it. But notice one final thought here regarding God's provision, and it is in the fact that it demanded seclusion. Did you notice this strange instruction that Elisha said to the woman when she went and borrowed the vessels? Verse 4, "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons." Thou shalt shut the door. Is it not a strange requirement? Would it not be better to let others see this great miracle? But it only becomes clear when we recognize that this is the perpetual order of God's working. Come down to the end of the chapter, verse 33. And here we have the son of the Shunammite woman. The child is dead. And Elisha takes the child. Verse 32, "When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro. And he went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes." He shut the door. If you turn over to Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, and here we have the case of Tabitha called Dorcas, a woman renowned for her good works, but she died. Verse 39 of Acts 9 says, "Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth," put them out, "and he kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." He put them all out. You turn over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse 40. And here we have the case of the daughter of Jairus. and she's sick. And they have gone to the Lord. We read in the verse 40 that the people laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. You see, in all these instances, the Lord is putting people out, shutting the door. And who did he put out? He put out the unbelievers. Those who laughed him to scorn, the skeptics. You know, there's many people today, and this is the thinking in much of the church, that miracles will convince the world. Miracles will convince the world. But you see, the Lord put them out and he shut the door, because miracles do not convince the world. Miracles are reserved for those who believe. And that is why Elisha said to this woman, shut the door. And it was only the woman and her two sons that witnessed this wonderful intervention and provision of the Lord. It was faith. The Lord, I believe, was putting the emphasis and he was putting the honor upon faith. Faith was privileged to see the miracle. Unbelief was shut out. Miracles are not designed to convert the world. They're designed to glorify God and to benefit his believing people. And when God provides for us, it's not something that's going to convert the world. That's why the Lord says, don't cast your pearls before swine. They'll only make light of it. They'll only turn it into an entertainment spectacle. These things, rather, are designed to strengthen our faith and to teach us that God cares for his people. And God hears their prayer, and God sees them in their need, and God honors and rewards their faith when they seek unto him. God's provision is designed for our good and for his glory. What a wonderful miracle this is. God is able to provide. That was the message Abraham gave to his son when he said, Father, we've got the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide. And God provided a Savior. And if God has provided a Savior for us, what did Paul say in Romans 8? He said, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? And the great guarantee of God's provision of the need of all his people, the great guarantee that he will provide, is the crosswork of Calvary. If he provided Christ, then he'll provide everything else that we need. The Lord will provide. That's the message. And that is the comfort that we derive from this text. Let's turn to number 46 in our hymn.